Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Please stay tuned and worship with us on this Lord's Day. Conducting the service is the Reverend Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders.
Does your faith stand under pressure? Or does your faith waver when some new teaching, which appears to contradict the Bible's teaching, is presented to you? Does your faith falter when some problem such as health, financial difficulty, or marital strife enters your family? We'll discuss faith under pressure in the sermon today. Thanks for listening to Christian Crusaders. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the first chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 5. During the time when Herod was king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife's name was Elizabeth. She also belonged to a priestly family. They both lived good lives in God's sight and obeyed fully all the Lord's and commands. They had no children because Elizabeth could not have any, and she and Zechariah were both very old. One day Zechariah was doing his work as a priest in the temple, taking his turn in the daily service. According to the custom followed by the priest, he was chosen by lot to burn incense on the altar. So he went into the temple of the Lord while the crowd of people outside prayed during the hour when the incense was burned. An angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar where the incense was burned. When Zechariah saw him, he was alarmed and felt afraid. But the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You are to name him John. How glad and happy you will be, and how happy many others will be when he is born. He will be a great man in the Lord's sight. He must not drink any wine or strong drink. From his very birth he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go ahead of the Lord, strong and mighty like the prophet Elijah. He will bring fathers and children together again. He will turn disobedient people back to the way of thinking of the righteous. He will get the Lord's people ready for him." Zechariah said to the angel, How shall I know if this is so? I am an old man, and my wife is old also. I am Gabriel, the angel answered. I stand in the presence of God, who sent me to speak to you and tell you this good news. But you have not believed my message, which will come true at the right time. Because you have not believed, you will be unable to speak. You will remain silent until the day my promise to you comes true. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, St. Peter once wrote, "These trials are only set to test your faith, to see whether or not it is strong and pure. If your faith remains strong after being tried in the test tube of fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day of his return." In this portion of Scripture, the apostle of old is presenting us with a thought that our faith in Jesus Christ will be tested while we're here on this earth. Therefore, I ask you the question today, does your faith stand under pressure? Experience shows us that when the going gets rough, our Christian faith can falter. This is true among even the most committed Christians. We have a good example of how the godly faltered many years ago in the person of Zechariah. He was a priest, and St. Luke says that they, meaning Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, both lived good lives in God's sight and obeyed fully all the Lord's laws and command. There was one dark cloud that hung over their marriage. It was this: they could not have children. Unlike our day, that was not well accepted by people, and so regularly Zechariah and Elizabeth had prayed, "O God, give us a child," but none came. Then there was that one day, that notorious day, when Zechariah was doing his priestly work around the temple. He had been given a great honor, for the lot had fallen to him that he was to go in and burn incense before the temple of the Lord. As he burned the incense, the people remained outside of the temple and prayed. At the time that Zechariah was burning the incense, the angel Gabriel appeared to him. This was extremely alarming, for even in the temple, angels were not ordinarily seen. But then there came the announcement, such a strange announcement, that after all of these years, Elizabeth was going to have a child. All of this caused Zechariah to be afraid. But the voice of the angel echoed out this great word, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for God has heard your prayer. You are going to have a son. You will name him John, and he will be a great man, bringing blessings not only to you and to your wife, but to many, many people. For he will be the forerunner of Jesus Christ, the one who is to come." When Zechariah heard all of this, he asked one question that was filled with doubt. "How shall I know if this is so? I am an old man, and my wife is old also." At that particular point, friend, there was doubt in the church. Not in the saloon, not in the university classroom, but in the church. And it came from the soul of one who was most committed to Almighty God. Had you asked Zechariah prior to his going in to burn the incense if he really believed in Almighty God and the promises that God had given to him, he would have been highly insulted. He would have said, "Look at my profession. I am a priest. I believe the Old Testament scriptures from beginning to end. I trust God more than anything or anyone else." And yet, when the pressure was on, when he was confronted with a thought that was contrary to nature, his faith faltered and doubt came to this great man of God. In Zechariah, many of us see our own lives. His life rings a bell for us, for there are times when our faith falters. Would you not agree? Let's take a couple of these times. One is when there is intellectual pressure placed upon us. I imagine that this particularly comes true in the earlier years of our lives. In the academic world, we are confronted with new teachings that come from the humanities and from science. And as a result of that, the faith that we were taught as children is tested, it is tried, as St. Peter says, and there are moments when it wavers. Let me read you a letter that I received some time ago from a young lady who happened to be the wife of a pastor. And this is what she writes. "When I was with my husband in the seminary, I felt like I pretty much resolved my awful doubt of 8 years of the sin against the Holy Spirit. But now, of all things, my faith in Christ is faltering. I believe he came, did miracles, even rose from the dead. But what makes me wonder is why he had to die. How does that pay for our sins? How does it atone? It makes me think that it's something left over from primitive religions. Sacrifices of children, goats, lambs, or whatever else is something from beginning religion. So how does Jesus' death pay for our sin?" Now, I can understand this young lady. She, without a doubt, has been raised in a very godly home, and she has been taught the great biblical truths. She still believes them, but there are questions that are coming to her mind, for she is confronted with teachings which are contrary to the Bible. Is that not when faith sometimes falters, and yet the extended arm of God is there telling that person, together with all of the rest of us, "Come, and in my word I will share with you and will build up that faith which I have established there." In this time of the year, when we think of the incarnation of God's coming to this world in the person of Jesus Christ, there are times when we can wonder how, when, where did this all come about. It is easy enough to accept Jesus as a great man who was born in a manger in Bethlehem and who died 33 years later. That doesn't take any faith. In fact, one would be stupid with the record that Jesus left behind not to accept him as one of the world's great. It's about like accepting the fact that Abraham Lincoln was a great political leader who was born in a log cabin and lived and died at the hands of an assassin's bullet. No, my friend, it is entirely different when you're thinking of Jesus Christ, who is not only a babe in Bethlehem's manger, but he is the God incarnate, who has come into this world not primarily to be our teacher, but to be our redeemer and our savior, and the one who is to free us from all of our sins. Sometimes when we have to put all of these great biblical truths into our head, there can be moments of wondering. Then there is the time when emotional pressure comes to us, when our families are touched with health problems or economic difficulties, or when there is marital trouble among those within our families. It is at that time that we perhaps cry out, God, where are you? It is not that we are questioning the existence of God at that time, but rather we are wondering why God doesn't intervene. Where are you, God? Don't you know my address? I wonder about you. You say you have all these promises for me. And so God stands there waiting to minister to us, but there are times when our faith will waver. Am I ringing a bell? Does the Bible speak to us today through this character by the name of Zechariah? And so Zechariah asked God, give me a sign. I need a sign. And Gabriel came back and said, Zechariah, you are going to have a sign. You will not speak until the child is born. I believe that we could say that here is one pregnancy, perhaps the only one in history, where the husband was more miserable than his wife during the 9 months period. Zechariah could not speak because he did not accept the announcement from God in faith. He had some miserable moments. Is that not true with us when we doubt the promises of God? Is peace not replaced with misery? Look at these promises. God in his word says, cast all of your cares upon him. He cares for you. And we say, I question that. And so we carry the cares ourselves. And what happens? We live in misery, for we are not able to carry all the cares of this life. The word of God says, confess your sins. Jesus has come into this world to suffer and to die as a payment for the sins of the world. And we can't quite accept that. And so we carry the sins and the torture of our guilt when we could have left it all with Jesus Christ. The word of God says, I go to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come again and receive you, that where I am, there you may be also. And we say, well, I believe there's something after death, but I'm not sure what it is. And so we go to the cemetery and we bury our loved ones and we look down into a cold grave. And there is really no hope there, for we cannot accept the promises of God. To live this way, my friend, is to live in a state of misery. But it is when our faith falters, it is when it wavers, it is when we cannot accept what the Lord Jesus has offered to us in his word, that peace is replaced with misery. So then, here is the problem. Our faith does waver. What do we do with it? The solution is also found in the word of God. One way that some people feel they can solve it is by running from the situation that causes them to doubt. Luther tried that. He went to the monastery. He was going to escape the forces of evil, but who was the first one he met when he got inside of the walls of that Augustinian monastery? Luther himself tells us, it was the devil who met me there. No, you and I can't run away, friend. No matter how hard we may want to try, we cannot run away. We cannot put ourselves in a cloister. We cannot shield our children. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. That's what Peter believed. And so he said, forget it if you think that you can live without being tested. Faith will be tested. I remember a dear friend whom I buried some time ago. He died a lingering death of cancer, his small children around his bed in the living room of that home. And when I went in to sit down with Ernie, he would often say to me, "Pastor, when this first happened to me, I questioned God permitting this to happen. But now I have seen God's hand watching over us as a family. Oh, I want to stay. Oh, I want to see these kids raised." But if that is not what God wants, then I can still sit back and sing, "Oh God, how great thou art." We can't escape the fact, friend, that sickness can come to us, that there can be turmoil in our family, and we can't escape the fact that we are going to waver in our faith. But we know what to do when all of this happens. A child of God understands what James has written. Draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. It is God who has created the faith. It is God who will strengthen our faith as we live close to him in his word, and we see that word come true. Then we will understand Isaiah's words. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Doubt comes to the most dedicated, but the dedicated knows what to do with their doubts. They pray, "O Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." And then they turn to the word of God and let the Holy Spirit work through that means of grace to bring them peace. In this Advent season, leave your doubts with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the promises that he has given you. Accept in faith what you cannot understand with your limited intellect. Amen.
Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have come into this world to suffer and to die for our sins, that you have been born in Bethlehem's manger, that you are the God incarnate. Help us, O God, when our faith wavers, when the temptations of this day come in upon us, the new intellectual thoughts, the emotional experiences that can tear us apart. Lord, in those moments, may we sense your presence. Give us the grace, the discipline to turn to your word. And then, Father, through that word, will you who began the good work in us continue to perform and perfect it, including the strengthening of our faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
You are tuned to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We are pleased to have you worshiping with us this day. We hope you will tune in every Sunday on the same station and hear Pastor Larson. We are thankful that through radio communication, Pastor Larson's sermons can reach such a widespread audience. Response from you, the listener, is very important to Christian Crusaders. Your gifts are needed and appreciated. Support for this radio ministry is through friends like you. Therefore, it's important that we know you are a part of Christian Crusaders Radio Congregation on this station. Address your letters and your gifts to Christian Crusaders, Box 451, Waterloo, Iowa. Christian Crusaders, Box 451, Waterloo, Iowa, the zip code 50704. Attractive memorial cards from Christian Crusaders are now available free for your use. And printed copies of the sermons heard on these broadcasts are also available for the asking. The address again is Christian Crusaders, Box 451, Waterloo, Iowa, 50704. Conducting the service today, as on every Sunday, was the Reverend Homer Larson, pastor of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders.